Time now for World Sports from the BBC. Hello from me, John Bennett. Coming up, the 20th Commonwealth Games are underway.
On behalf of the people of this beautiful city, welcome to Glasgow!
Nibali extends his lead at the Tour de France, and we hear from Louis van Gaal ahead of his first match in charge of Manchester United, a friendly in the USA. After Wednesday night's opening ceremony, 20 gold medals will be won on Thursday at the 20th Commonwealth Games in the Scottish city of Glasgow. A colourful opening ceremony at the home of Celtic Football Club highlighted Scotland's rich history and was followed by a parade of thousands of competitors from 71 nations and territories. Later on Thursday, medals will be won in cycling, gymnastics, judo, swimming, triathlon and weightlifting. Nick Marshall McCormack looks at some of the potential highlights.
Well, there are 20 gold medals up for grabs on day one of the Commonwealth Games. And first up, we head to Strathclyde Country Club for the triathlon. The women are there. Non Sanford, the world champion, won't be there. She is injured. But the Australians, Emma Moffat and Emma Jackson, should be able to take the gold. They have been so dominant this year. In the men's, Alistair Brownlee and his brother Johnny are also right in the mix for medals, and they'll be having to come up against South Africa's Richard Murray, who's been hovering around in the top four. In the cycling, over in the Sir Chris Hoy Velodrome, the crowd will be going wild for Sir Bradley Wiggins as he makes his return to the track where he dominated for so many years before winning the Tour de France in 2012. He's focusing just on the team pursuit, and that gold medal will be awarded on Thursday night. So he's hoping to be right up there, taking it to the Australians and the Kiwis.
Well, one of the biggest names who will be competing in the Games, defending champion in the 100 metres hurdles, Sally Pearson, says she's disappointed to be fined by Australian athletics for missing their pre-Games preparation camp. Pearson, who's also the Olympic champion, has been struggling with a hamstring problem and didn't join up with the squad until this week. BBC athletics commentator Ed Harry has more details.
The Australians had a pre-Games training camp in the northeast of England. Now, Pearson skipped it completely, didn't go at all, because she was competing on Sunday in London, believing that competition was the best form of preparation. She was third in that race in London. It was won by England's Tiffany Porter, and they're expected to go head-to-head for the gold medal here. Form-wise, Pearson certainly isn't where she'd like to be. I spoke to her last month in Rome at length about the Commonwealth Games. She is passionate about representing Australia. She told me any opportunity to pull on the green and gold of her country, she will always be there. She went to the Delhi Commonwealth Games, where many of the big names stayed away. She tried to make light of the issue of this fine here today, but clearly she's not happy with the decision.
Well, I didn't arrive late, I didn't arrive at all. I have to bite my tongue a little bit today. It was disappointing, obviously, but it's out of my control now. I'm going to be waiting till after the Commonwealth Games to deal with those situations. It's a distraction, and a distraction that I don't want right now. I'm focusing everything I can on what I can do to win, and I'm trying not to think about the unfortunate things, and I'll be able to speak a bit more clearly after I race and discuss those things later.
Meanwhile, the chief executive of the Commonwealth Games Federation, Mike Hooper, has been responding to questions about the exclusion of the Welsh boxer Fred Evans from the Games. Evans, an Olympic silver medalist and favourite for the gold in the welterweight division, was refused accreditation after checks with the British Home Office and the Commonwealth Games Accreditation Decisions Board. Further details concerning the decision haven't been revealed, but in April, Evans did admit to being involved in a nightclub assault in Birmingham, central England, for which he was fined. Mike Cooper says background checks are carried out on all athletes and officials before accreditation is granted.
First and foremost, the CGF itself doesn't get directly involved in undertaking background and security checks. All of us in this room, to receive our accreditation cards, were subjected to those, and if we failed it, we would not be sitting in this room with an accreditation card. Myself failed it. We would not be sitting in this room with an accreditation card, myself included. The reality is, for all major events, a lot of you were at London 2012, the exact same process applied, and the authorities, the appropriate authorities, the Home Office, police, etc., undertake the background checks and processes. There's a Games Accreditation Decision Board who reviews all these cases, and those policy parameters are set through that body, decisions are taken, and it's made very clear, including Commonwealth Games Wales, for example, all Commonwealth Games associations signed up and agreed that should anyone fail a background check, then they would not get an accreditation. Now, I can't go into the details because under the data protection, I don't have the details personally of a particular case, and we wouldn't talk particular cases, but that is the policy. Our board has took a decision that it would abide by and respect the decisions of the authorities here, as it did in Melbourne in 2006, as it did in Delhi 2010.
Football now on the BBC World Service, and the new Manchester United manager, Louis van Gaal, says the club is putting its chances of success in jeopardy by undertaking a pre-season tour of the USA. United begin their tour in Los Angeles later on Wednesday. That's the first game of a 2.5-week long tour, which could involve up to 22,000 kilometres of travel if they reach the final of the International Champions Cup. Van Gaal insists that's not ideal preparation for the new season.
We have to prepare the season, and when you have a lot of commercial activities, also for the players, and you have travel distances, and you have to fly a lot, and then you have also a jet lag that is not very positive for a good preparation. But the tour was already arranged, so I have to adapt.
Ivory Coast international defender Serge Aurier has joined the French champions Paris Saint-Germain on a season-long loan from Toulouse. The deal for the 21-year-old includes an option for PSG to make the move permanent. Aurier was voted the best right-back in France last season, and he impressed for Ivory Coast at the World Cup in Brazil. Earlier this month, he was linked with a move to Arsenal. Basketball now, and the LA Clippers coach Doc Rivers says he'll quit if Donald Sterling remains the owner. That's according to the club's interim chief executive officer Richard Parsons, who was giving evidence in the trial to determine if Sterling's wife, Shelley, can sell the team for $2 billion. The NBA is looking to force Donald Sterling from the league over racist comments which were picked up in a secretly recorded interview. BBC basketball commentator Chris Mitchell says Rivers would be a big loss for the Clippers.
Doc Rivers is a highly regarded, highly respected coach. He won the NBA championship with Boston, telling the likes of Kevin Garnett and the big three there what to do. Now, it takes a big man to tell those guys what to do and for those guys to listen, and they did. He's now gone to the Clippers, and he had a record-breaking first season with them, got them into the playoffs, and they look like a team that, in the future, if Rivers were to stay there, could win a championship rings very soon. But like I say, if he goes, that whole scenario changes very quickly and very badly for the Clippers.
Chris Mitchell reporting. Poland's Rafał Majka has won the 17th stage of the Tour de France. That was a ride of 124.5 kilometres, featuring four climbs in the Pyrenees. Italy's Vincenzo Nibali, meanwhile, has extended his lead over his main rivals in the overall standings. Reporting from the Tour, Rob Hatch.
Stage 17 was to be the shortest of the Tour de France, but with almost 4,000 metres of climbing, one of the most important. Team Sky's Vasil Kiryienko was again in the break, but would be caught on the penultimate of four huge Pyrenean climbs. Once onto the final ascent, Poland's Rafał Majka looked the strongest, and after bridging the gap to Giovanni Visconti, attacked and never looked back. Tick off Saxo with their third stage win of the Tour, and second in as many days. Majka also took the lead in the King of the Mountains competition, whilst behind, Vincenzo Nibali extended his lead over Alejandro Valverde in the overall, who's looking over his shoulder to Thibaut Pinot and Jean-Christophe Pérot.
And finally, Formula One will return to Mexico for the first time in 23 years next year. Nigel Mansell was the last winner there back in 1992. More on our website, bbc.com/sport.